Yes. Has everyone heard of the Yanuka?
Yes.
The Yanuka is a 36-year-old man. 36, 37. And he knows the whole Torah. Baal Peh. You know, everything in the Torah. The whole Chumash and the whole Gemara and the whole of Kabbalah. He knows everything. And he speaks to rooms of hundreds of people, thousands of people. Old Sfadi Mekubalim come and kiss his hand. Some people say he's the Mashiach. And for me, the best thing about him is he's so normal and silly and funny. You'd expect someone like that to be like some very Mekubad, very honorable. And he's just a normal person. And he thinks it's funny that people think he's the Mashiach. And he's amazing. And at the end of his classes, he plays the keyboard. This is him. Amazing, man.
What's
his name? The Yanuka. Yehuda Be'eri. Yeah, I'll send you the music. So he came and played once. There was last year at this time we had a group, 30 Mashpiyim. And Baruch Hashem, somehow they invited me. It was Rav Moshe Weinberger, Rav Manish Friedman, and Rav Dov Ber Pinson, and Rav Shlomo Katz, and like all of these people. And we just went for 4 days to this resort. And we just had a lot of fun, and he came and spoke to us. And someone asked him, who taught you the keyboard? And he said that when he was 15 years old, he saw someone playing the keyboard, and he started crying. And he said to Hashem, I just want to play for you. I want to be able to express my love for you with the keyboard. Please help me. And he found a keyboard, and he said to himself, there must be some wisdom to this. There must be a way. So he just prayed, and he said after 2.5-3 hours he could play. So I play the keyboard, this kind of music as well, but this is music from Shemayim. Literally, it's just coming down from a very high place. So what we're going to do, just for a minute, if you can sit up straight and smile. Sit up straight, smile, and breathe through your nose, very deeply through your nose. And smile. Smile, 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 smile. It's okay. Everything's okay. And you're going to loosen your neck and shoulders. Just very gently loosen your neck and shoulders. And smile and breathe through your nose. And if you want to, you can gently twist in your chair. And if you don't want to, you can also gently twist in your chair. Because if you don't want to twist in your chair, it means you probably need to twist in your chair more than most other people. So whatever's stopping you twisting in your chair, just let go of that. Just let go, it's okay. And keep breathing through your nose, smiling. Pardon?
There's too many things to keep in mind.
Then just breathe through your nose and smiling. Just those two. Breathe through your nose and smiling. And for some people, when they do this, it's actually challenging for them because most people have never just breathed and become present. Because we have so much taking our attention. And you got your kids and your responsibilities and I've got to do this and achieve this and my sense of self. And I found that really, most people are very hard on themselves. And they feel, you know what, I'm not good enough. I say brachas maybe, but I could say them better. And I'm not pretty enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not holy enough. And many people are very hard on themselves. And Hashem's exactly the opposite. Hashem's very open to receiving any little thing. Just one little. I gave a whole class the other day to a group of people whose children are struggling in Judaism. And I said, you know that kid who's really struggling and they're very far away? But imagine they called you up and said, you know, like, Mom, Dad, could I just come home for Shabbos? Now they're living in Tel Aviv with their non-Jewish girlfriend, and they're doing what they're doing, and they got their tattoos, and they're smoking. But they call you up and say, you know what, can I just come and I kind of miss it. I miss Imaz Chala. And you know all those songs that I didn't join in with? I want to hear you sing those songs. So what would you say to that kid?
Sure.
You wouldn't say no. You'd say, and then that kid would come, and then you'd love the kid, and then you'd sit on the couch and you'd read them a story like you used to, and they'd put their head on your arm and you'd love them. And you know that on Motzi Shabbos they're going back to their non-Jewish girlfriend in Tel Aviv with their tattoos. But that Shabbos is the most beautiful, special Shabbos. So that's Hashem. Hashem's not like, come on, do more. You could do more. You've got to be very, very careful. On the Chizuk mission, some people, I think, might be thinking that the Chizuk mission is here to make you do more and be stronger. And I don't think that's the point. I don't think that's the point. I think part of the Chizuk mission, where you get your Chizuk from, is to realize that you're actually doing amazingly well. And you're not giving yourself the credit for that. You're showing up. You're being present. You're making mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But when your kids make mistakes, you don't hate them and you don't feel upset with them. You want to help them. So for me, the Chizuk mission is the opposite of what I think people think it is. Is to give you Chizuk of where you are right now. Not like you're not doing so well, come on the mission and we'll make you go back doing better and you'll be a super Jew. And you'll be like, I think it's the opposite. You're great. In fact, I want to do that a little bit more. Let's go back to this. I want you to sit up straight and close your eyes if you want to. If you don't, if it's very uncomfortable, don't close your eyes. But what often happens is when you start trying to calm your mind down, your mind gets extra crazy. Because it's like, what's going on? I don't know. Anxiety can come up. Even sadness comes up a lot, actually, when you start breathing. But what I want you to do is let what comes up come up, however you're feeling. And then for a little while, you're just going to let it come up. If you need to cry, you'll cry. It's fine. But what we're going to do is we're just going to let things come and you're going to just observe them. And you're not going to identify with them. You're going to let them go. And then we're going to go into a little deeper place where you realize, I'm beautiful and good and I'm trying and I'm doing my best. And people always think my best is not good enough. And Hashem says, that's not true. Your best is amazing. I love your best. So let's do that. Just 1 minute we're going to do this. Gently close your eyes and you're going to loosen your neck and shoulders. Breathe through your nose. And whatever comes up and you're just going to watch it and not be identified with it. Not judge yourself. And you all know the word for breath is neshima. The word for soul is neshama. So when you breathe, breathe into your neshama, which is already connected and pure. It's full of love and joy. It's your essence, it's who you are. And if you have the external layers of your Yetzirah judging and putting you down, just smile at the negativity and breathe through the negativity into a very peaceful, calm, loving place within you. You can tell yourself, I'm actually doing really well. I'm not perfect, I'm not meant to be perfect. And think of one or two things you are proud of yourself for. And your Yetzirah might try and sabotage it and say nothing. So smile at that and tap into a place where you feel I'm doing well. Thirty more seconds, loosen your neck and shoulders again, breathe, smile. And when you breathe out, just release, just let go of any tension in your heart, in your mind. Just letting go, breathing in pure, fresh air, breathing into your soul. And breathing out tension from your body and your heart and your mind. When you're ready, you're going to gently open your eyes, but I want you to look at yourself with kinder eyes now. Just look at yourself with kinder eyes. Often when we put ourselves down, it should be the opposite. We should have self-compassion. Sometimes when we're upset with ourselves, we're making a big mistake, because life's actually quite hard. It's hard to do everything we need to do. And what you deserve is self-compassion. We say in davening, Barogez Rachem Tizkor. And its simple meaning is, you know, Hashem, sometimes if you feel angry with us, remember that you're really compassionate. But Rabbi Nachman says that you should think of it like this. Barogez, when you get upset with yourself, Rachem Tizkor, be compassionate on yourself. Because any mistake you made is because life's quite hard. You didn't try to make a mistake. Life's difficult. So there's got to be a lot of self-compassion. So could you keep breathing and smiling through your nose for the rest of your life? You don't need me to tell you. But maybe on your phone you could put a little breathe and smile. Maybe we should make some bumper stickers or something. Just breathe and smile. Because we said, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. And there's a very big question about this. How can you tell me what to feel? Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. What if I'm going through really difficult stuff? And now I feel even guilty, even more guilty, because I'm meant to be happy in Adar and I'm really not happy. So now I'm not happy, then I'm not happy in it. So very difficult. In fact, the Torah often commands us to feel something. But that's not fair. You can't command me to feel something. You can command me to do something. Light Shabbos candles. I'll light them whether I want to or not. Keep Shabbos, I'll do it. But you have to love every Jew. Well, I don't. There's some really horrible, annoying people. So how can you tell me to love someone who's clearly evil and not nice? Love Hashem. That's very hard when you're going through hard stuff and you're asking why, unless you've got amazing emunah. It's hard to love Hashem all the time. When Av comes in, you're meant to not feel as happy. But what if I'm really happy and my kid just got married and I'm feeling great? So how can you tell me how to feel? So the sages teach us, it's teaching us a very powerful thing. Hashem can't tell you to do something that you can't do. So if Hashem is telling you to feel something, it means that Hashem believes in you and believes that you can learn to become more in control of your emotional world. So for most people, they're not in control of their emotional world. And if things are going well, then I feel good. And if things aren't going well, I feel bad. And if people are saying nice things to me, I have self-esteem. And if people are saying not nice things to me, I don't have self-esteem. And if my kids are doing well in school, I feel great. And if they're doing badly in school, I feel bad. And so for most people, they're just a complete victim to the external world. And the Torah says you don't need to be that anymore. You can start having inner self-regulation. Someone said to me, I think I might even have said to this group last year, because it's become a big thing. People say, you can only be as happy as your saddest child. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
No. Yes.
Many people say that. Everyone else says, But the truth is, your saddest child needs a happy parent. So I understand what that means, I really do. When my children are in pain, that causes me pain because they're part of me. And their joy is my joy. The more close you feel to someone, the more their pain is your pain and the more your joy is your joy. But the truth is that you can still be happy even if your child's in pain. It might be harder, but it's actually what your child needs. And some say, well, we're giving a relationship class, happy wife, happy life. And I said, I know many people who have happy wives but then don't have happy lives. And also the other way around. I know people who don't have happy wives but they're very happy people. And they're there for their wife, because if you have a wife who's struggling with depression or something, that wife needs a happy, stable husband to support her through that. So for many, many people, almost in a noble way, they're being like, no, I am a wife and a mother and I'm not living for me. This is another big problem. I live for my children. That's not a good idea either. You shouldn't live for your children, you should live for yourself and then be there for the children. The more you're there for your for yourself, the more you can be there for your children. As it says in Pirkei Avot, Im ein ani li mili, if I'm not for myself, then who is for me? So everything starts with self-nurture, self-respect, self-esteem. And it feels that many people feel, I can only feel good about myself if I'm perfect. if my challah comes out well and my kids go to the right seminary. And, but your sense of self shouldn't be based on that. You got to nurture yourself, look after yourself, take care of yourself. I think someone just said to me as I was walking in or walking out, you know, lots of women are very good at giving to others, but they end up being like shmatas, you know? Giving to my community, I've got to give all the time, and that's what makes me so holy. Everyone who asks to come for Shabbos, I have to say yes, because that's what a holy Rebbetzin Kanievsky did. Yeah, you're not Rebbetzin Kanievsky, and you're not meant to be, and you don't have to be, so stop putting pressure on yourself to be. I'm not Rav Chaim, and I'm not upset about that. I have what I need to do. And I don't think Rav Chaim could talk to a birthright group for 10 minutes and inspire them. So he was a gadol in his way, and I'm a gadol in my way. I'm a gadol you know I'm a gadol? Because I always read my kids a bedtime story. That's why I think I'm a gadol. Spoke to a group of men the other day, working overtime to give my kids the best education I can give them. I work overtime working, I'm a real estate agent, in the office till late at night to give my kids the best education. And I said, hold on, but when do you spend time with your kids? And they were like, well, on Shabbos, I have a bit of time. Some of them were religious. And I said, but what about saying goodnight to them? And they say, I WhatsApp in. I talk to them. I say, goodnight, I love you. And so I said to them, do you know what? Your kids actually don't need the best education. They need a father who's present and reading them a bedtime story. So make less money. Give them a less good education, but give them a father, like, really. So what are your values in life? What do you stand for? What's important to you? So when it says, Mishenichnas Adam Abim B'Simcha, it says, stop letting the whole external world define your sense of self, and even your roles. Purim is all about playing role. Why do you get dressed up on Purim? The whole of the Megillah is all talking about clothing. Mordechai yatsa milefnei amelech with Tehillos and Agamon, and the king Achashverosh showing about his clothing, and Esther dressed up in clothes. It's all about clothes, and it's really saying what your clothes don't define you. That's why we dress up on Purim, because you know what? Most people are dressed up all year round. I'm this perfect Rebbetzin, or I'm the spiritual rabbi, and the real trick behind Purim is when you take the mask off at the end and you laughed at the mask that you were wearing, can you take the other mask off as well? You're walking around with a mask all day, all the time. This is how I think people should see me. It's very difficult. How my community sees me. I have people reaching out to me, my child is homosexual. Lakewood mothers, my daughter now wants to be a man. I had that recently. What should I do? And I said, I think you should probably love her and accept her more, because it must be really painful for her. She probably wouldn't want, she didn't choose that. The other option is ostracize her, kick her out the house because of what your community and friends might say. But maybe Hashem gave you this challenge to see if you could love someone unconditionally. But the truth is, if you can't love yourself unconditionally, then how can you love other people unconditionally? So to understand, we have our challenges. So people start playing their roles. Very good. They're very good at playing their role. I'm a mother. I got called just before Yom Kippur this year. I run a mindfulness chabora. 52-year-old Rebbetzin, amazing, holy, amazing woman. She did tshuva when she was 21. And then since 21, all her kids in yeshiva, amazing. If you met her, you're the most holy woman, amazing. And she called me crying. How can I ever forgive myself for what I did when I was a secular 20-year-old? She's in pain about it. And I was shocked. I said, you don't have to forgive yourself because that wasn't you. You're a 52-year-old Rebbetzin, that was a 20-year-old secular girl doing what 20-year-old secular girls do. It wasn't you. In fact, it should be exactly the opposite. Not only do you not need to forgive yourself, you should feel great about yourself. You should look at that 22-year-old secular girl and see who she's become and feel immense pride. Be like, wow, that's who I used to be. And this is who I am now. So people are playing roles, mothers and wives and rabbis and all these roles, and we get so caught up in our roles, we forget who we really are, and then we're chasing all the time recognition. What do people think of me? Am I performing well enough? Whereas Judaism says, what are your real clothes? The neshama is perfect and pure, and then it comes down into a body, it comes down into this world, and the sages say it gets three garments, levushim. The three garments of the soul are thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action. That's the way the soul presents itself in the world. So your thought, speech, and action can either reveal your soul in the world, or it can cover up your soul in the world. So if you're thinking negative, angry, hateful, jealous, greedy thoughts, then the clothes, because clothes do one of two things. They either cover you up, they cover you up, but they also reveal something about you. They reveal your values. So too, your thought, speech, and action, they either cover up your soul if they're not in line with your soul, or they reveal your soul. That's what we're actually trying to do. This is why actually Purim's opposite of Halloween. Halloween is all about dressing up as evil and trick or treat. Basically, dress up as evil and take stuff. Purim's the opposite. Dress up as Mordechai, dress up as Esther, and then give stuff. I actually had an insight 2 days ago, and I'm sure you probably know this, although most people I shared it with don't seem to have known this, that Purim is the only chag where we have a mitzvah bein Adam lechavero. Have you ever thought of that? What's the mitzvah of Pesach? The mitzvah of Pesach is eating matzah. That's not bein Adam lechavero. There's no v'ahavta recha kamocha. Rosh Hashanah is blowing the pardon. So we had a family, but I was just being part of the family, but I wasn't doing something for my chaver. It wasn't a kiyum of ve'ahavta l'rech kamocha. Blowing the shofar, that's not ben adam l'chavera. Shaking a lulav and etrog, sitting in a sukkah, that's not ben adam l'chavera. Although you have guests, you're always meant to have guests. Lighting a Hanukkah candle, that's not. No chag has a mitzvah ben adam l'chavera, apart from Purim. It's amazing. This is why Purim's the highest spiritual chag. Because we're really here for these three relationships. First, bein adam la'atzmo, between you and yourself. And when we say you and yourself, it means not you and your roles that you're playing, and your clothes and your kids. Yourself is defined on two levels. The essential level is your neshama. So you are besimcha already. So when Hashem says, mishenignas adam abim besimcha, it really means tap into your soul, because your soul is already happy. Your soul is already connected. As we see with babies, babies are always happy unless they feel hungry. Unless there's something getting in their way of their natural state of happiness, babies are always happy. So you think you need a reason to be happy, but the truth is you don't. You need a reason to not be happy. We just have reasons all the time. And our main reason we're not happy is our own mind. Our mind makes us not happy. Overthinking and jealousy and doubt and anxiety, that makes us not happy. Babies don't have a mind. They don't have words yet. They don't have thoughts yet. Therefore, they can't not be happy. So when they start crying because they didn't get fed, there's a pain, and then you give them a bottle, and then they stop crying, and they go back into just presence and happiness. And they're not thinking, I bet my friends have better bottles than me. And I'm not lovable and worthy. Why did it take them so long to bring me my bottle? They're not doing that. We're the ones who are just walking around with these unhelpful thoughts all the time that usually aren't really true even. I'm not good enough. That's not true. I'm not doing enough. That's not true. It's not true. You're very good and you're doing... Could you do more? You could probably do more. But what you're doing is so precious, so special. It's just not true, most of that. So we have these two levels. We have who you are is your neshama, but then we also have who you're being in this world, which is your thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, your clothing in this world. I was very excited when I got to America in November, and I got to the airport, and people were walking around with jackets with TSA on them. Uh-huh. It was like thought, speech, and action. I thought it was amazing. I thought this is how you travel through life. How does a soul travel through this world with TSA, thought, speech, and action?
Love that.
I took a picture of it. I was very excited. I was like,
so you're saying the Levushim have gotten hijacked?
Yeah. No, I'm saying that they're really using the Levushim properly now. But your Levushim, correct. So the Levushim got hijacked.
But it would be good if we were like that and we examined that for what's speaking.
Oh, beautiful. So that's what we're saying.
So now I have a job.
So there are two levels of happiness.
Two levels of what?
Happiness. There's your natural state of happiness. There's your natural state of happiness, but then there's the happiness that comes from training your thought, speech, and action. There are two levels. Intrinsic, essential happiness, which is your nature, and happiness that comes from thought, speech, and action. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov says that the word, we say basimcha, marbim basimcha. Basimcha. Firstly, it's teaching us a very special idea that simcha isn't something that you come in and out of. You are basimcha, you're in it. I'm a happy person. So if your simcha depends on anything in the external world, Judaism doesn't call that simcha. Wow, you look so happy today. What happened? Well, my kid did really well in school. That's not called simcha. It's maybe called sason, by the way. We have another word. The feeling you get when things go your way and it's nice, that's called sason. It's not called simcha. So my team won, it's nice weather, someone sent me a nice email. That's not called simcha, because simcha doesn't come and go. Simcha is a state of being, but I'm in simcha. People who are besimcha, who are happy people, they can feel sad. They can sit shiver when someone passes away. We can be upset with the situation in the world. That's okay. But that doesn't mean you're not a happy person. You're just a happy person who's experiencing some pain at the moment. But someone who's besimcha, they experience pain less often because it takes more to get them upset. And they also deal with it quicker. They work through it. So the Baal Shem Tov says, besimcha is the same letters as machshava. Because your attitude to life creates your experience of life. So if you have a positive mindset, if you have a positive attitude and perspective on life, you will have a good life. No, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Whereas if you have a negative mindset, you could have the best house and the best body and the best car and the best family and the best kids. But if you have jealousy or greed or anxiety, then you won't enjoy those things. So Hashem is saying, you can be besimcha even if life is really, really difficult. Because I'm not letting the external world dictate how I feel so much. Although I'm not emotionally detached from that, I feel my emotions and I process my emotions. And the underlying key to that is, what is the Megillah? The Megillah is the whole story of Hashem's behind the scenes all the time. If you actually think about it, why do we say Mishenichnas Adar Mabim Besimcha? We were at war in Adar. It should be Misha Magia Le Yud Dalid Ada Mabim Besimcha. When we get to the 14th and 15th of Adar, then you should increase your joy. Why from Rosh Chodesh Adar? That doesn't make sense. What's Rosh Chodesh got to do with joy? So we're saying exactly this, because even the war that we fought before winning the war was Hashem's under, He's guiding everything. All of the struggle that we go through in our life. I think I should just stop talking and we should start breathing again. So all of our struggles, everything we're going through, the palate, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say this. I think people might have thought this, but apparently as a rabbi you're not allowed to say this. The Esther story is not a good story.
No,
it's a horrible thing. Everyone, hey, we've got to be like Esther. Horrible, horrible story. She's in a non-Jewish palace against her will. It's just it's a horror. And at the end of the story, she's still there.
Right, forever.
She doesn't leave.
Right.
So what the masters teach us is, in our lives, we are all sometimes in a palace that we didn't really want to be in. But you can be Esther in the palace, which means I'm going to bring Kedusha into the place that I don't want to be. So I've got a kid who's off the derech. That's a palace that I don't want to be in, but I am here. So you can either be a victim to that situation, or you can say, no, I'm going to bring Kedusha into this place that I don't want to be. And I might never get out of that place. Unfortunately, I work with people who lost children. That's a palace, you can never get out of that palace. So you're living in the palace of I lost a child with the pain of that. But you can bring Kedusha into that palace. That's what it means to be Esther. It's not like I'm exactly where I need to be and I want to be and I chose to be. And to understand also on a deeper level that it might have been a palace that you didn't choose to be in, but it's the palace that Hashem says this is where you need to be. And you're like, I wish it wasn't Hashem. I don't like those palaces. And Hashem says, I'm so sorry. I know you don't. But the truth is, if we got the life that we wanted, we'd never become great people. Imagine you had the exact life you designed when you're 18 years old. I teach in the SEM. We got these 18, 19-year-old SEM girls. Imagine they got exactly the life they wanted. They'd never be a great person. Because unfortunately, greatness doesn't come from being in the palace you want to be all the time. It comes from truly being in the palace that you happen to be in and owning and saying, you know what, I'm the queen of this. You're still the queen. She was the queen of the palace. So to become the queen of where I am right now, not in a victim way, but in a deep, empowered surrender. Radical surrender, empowered surrender. I'm still the queen. I have power and I'm going to do what I can do. And this is what Malchus really is. It says in the Megillah, V'tilbash Esther Malchut. And Esther put on Malchut. So the normal translation is she put on royal clothes. But it doesn't say Big Day Malchut. It doesn't say royal clothes, it just says Malchut. And Malchut is the spiritual energy of surrender.
Spiritual energy.
Yeah. Of surrender. Of being a vessel. I'm just a vessel. But just very quickly, because we've got to get this very, very clear. You have to have a very, very, very strong, healthy sense of self before you mevatel, before you surrender. Because most people, they end up as shmatas. Because I'm just giving, I'm giving, I'm giving, and you're just a worn out. That means you didn't do the im'eina nili mili first. The second part is kisha'ani la'atzmi ma'ani. If I'm living for myself, what am I? So we teach that the whole purpose of life and the whole purpose of Esther was, it's not about me. Who cares if I'm in the... I don't want to be in the palace, but it's not about me. I'm here to serve the Jewish people. I'm here to serve Hashem. But you have to be a queen to be able to do that. So if you're not taking care of yourself, then you don't have what it takes to surrender. If there's nothing to surrender, then your surrender, you're just killing yourself. So you've got to be... I actually thought this morning, I've turned a horrible thing into a nicer thing, that all of the people before they went to the king, like bathed for 6 months in lavender oil and oils. And I was thinking, that's what you need. You need to have a hot bath with lavender oil and an oil massage. I'm not joking. To be able to have Malchus and to go into the king, you have to take care of yourself. Number one thing. So people, I don't have time. Isn't it selfish to take care of myself? No. Because your husband needs a well-nurtured wife and your kids need a well-nurtured mother and you need to be a well-nurtured person. My wife's going on a retreat for 2 days next week. Maybe you should all extend on the retreat. Mm-hmm. Sorry, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question. We know this. Obviously, Mordechai knew it. Why she was there and the whole thing. Why does the Megillah say that he said to her, Umi Odea im Ra'is Kazos? Like he's saying, well, maybe that's why you're there. It's not maybe. He was a tzaddik. He knew.
Mm. He wanted to give her free... Because he wanted to give her the free choice. If he said, this is why you're here, he'd say, who knows? He's like, who knows? He knew, but he was saying to her, you've got to... I think also people read that pasuk very badly.
Really?
Mi yudeya im ke'ezazot higat lemachut. You have a mission, don't fail. It's a lot of pressure, I feel. So I think you can read it in that way, but say, you're where you need to be right now in your life. That's what it's saying. It's not saying, the whole Jewish people are depending on you, so you better make a big kiddush for the community and step up and be the power, Revitzin. I think people read it like that.
Yeah, he really did say that.
Right.
So no pressure.
Because
it will get taken care of.
Yes.
Still
pressure.
He's saying it's your opportunity.
It's certainly momentous.
It is, but some people say some people I've spoken to, women who just feel like, oh no, now it's all on me. They read that pasuk as in, uh-oh, it's all on me. Now Mordechai said a beautiful thing, which is so counterintuitive, because if you want her to save the Jewish people, he should have said the opposite. He said, if we don't do it through you, then we're in big trouble. He said the opposite. Right. Don't worry. Hashem's still in control, but you get to choose. But people seem to forget that second. Thank God you didn't forget it, but I speak to lots of people that are like, there's too much responsibility. I can't take this responsibility. So I think a different way to read it, which is what Mordechai is saying, is that you just need to take responsibility for, and it's mi yodea, it comes from the word das, for being present, for being aware. This is what we want you to do, it really means be where you are. Stop fighting your circumstances. I wish it wasn't like this. I wish someone else could take care of it, and just say, this is how it is, and I'm just going to be there. It says in Parshas Mishpatim last week, Hashem says to Moshe, Ale alai hehara v'yesham. Come up to me on the mountain and be there. So our scroll says remain there, but it doesn't say that. It says be there. And so what Hashem is saying to Moshe is just be present. It's okay. Not something in the future, I've got to achieve this. People are very like, what am I achieving? Everyone's talking about, what am I achieving in my life? We were just speaking about this. I've got to achieve this. Why is people chasing achieving stuff? Because people get their sense of self based on what they achieve. But we just said, you should not get your sense of self based on your external clothing. Literally your clothes and your car and your body and your stuff. Don't get your sense. Get your sense of self based on your internal clothing, which is your thought and your speech and your action. I feel good about myself because I'm trying to think positive things and do positive things and say positive things. That's why I feel good about myself. I don't feel good about myself because I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. I feel good about myself because I'm really trying to be perfect, but I have histapkut. I was going to say this at the beginning because someone said, histapkut means, do you know what histapkut means? It's my favorite word. Yeah. Do you know what the word maspik means?
No.
Enough. So histapkut is the same shoresh. Histapkut, really the best translation is enoughness. Which is basically saying, I'm enough. Now, I want to grow. I do want to grow, but I'm enough. I'm enough. Everyone's always saying, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not doing enough. It's not true. You are enough, and I want to do more. I don't have enough. You do have enough. It's enough. I'm okay. I'm doing well. And from that place of enoughness, I'm okay with myself, then I can move forward in a healthy way, because I do want to grow. And if I'm still the way I am now, in a year from now, I will feel a little bit, you know. But it all starts with, I'm feeling okay with who I am now. This is really going back to the original point. The Chizuk mission isn't saying do more. Not what the Chizuk mission is saying. It's saying be proud of what you're doing now. Feel good about who you are now, because you are great. In terms of people on the face of the planet doing Hashem's will, and you're in the top 0.001%. You're first pick. If Hashem had to pick a group of women to represent him, you're in the top 0.001% of them. And still you don't feel it. It's crazy.
Right.
They're crazy. You're doing great. You're amazing. If Hashem doesn't have us, he's got no one. We're the Esther in the... Hashem's saying, look, I put you in the palace. You're the ones in the palace. I chose you. Yes, sorry, did you?
You go, it's great, enoughness, and you say to your thought, speech, and action. But I think the whole problem is, what should that thought, speech, and action? Because how do we direct it the right way?
In general, David HaMelech says two things, very powerful. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. That all of our growth has to be done from a place of simcha and opportunity, not from a place of pressure and guilt and shame and comparing ourselves to other people.
So simple.
I've written a little book called Simple. I'll bring some. It's a very important little book. I think it's the most important thing I wrote. Firstly, your growth, you should have enoughness. I'm okay, but I do want to grow. But my growth, I'm kind of excited because it's an opportunity to have a better life. I'm not growing because I feel pressure that I have to grow or other people are doing better than me. In fact, the whole class we had last time was all about that. We read that beautiful piece of Rabbi Nachman. Who was there in last time? Oh no, we've got to do it again. Do you have a video of the last talk again? We'll find it. Anyway.
Could you repeat just like...
We're learning from the Likutei Maran that you're all on your own journey and people keep looking at other people doing better than me, but you're only ever judged on how far you've come based on where you started with the resources you have and the situation you're in. So you could never go back, because maybe if that person who looks so holier than you had your situation or you had theirs, you'd be much greater than you. This is what Moshe taught us. Moshe stayed humble because he said, maybe I'm just so great because I had the upbringing and the opportunities and everything and Hashem gave it to me. And maybe if someone else had what I had, they'd be doing better than me. I just don't know. There's just no point ever comparing yourself to other people. So if you have someone who's dropped halfway up a mountain and someone who's dropped at the bottom of the mountain, and this person walks 50 steps and this person walks 200 steps, who's higher? This person's four times higher. This person looks much higher, but they started at a different place with different stuff. Who knows? I don't know your Yetzirah. Maybe if I had your Yetzirah, I would be doing terrible things right now, and you're not. So there's no point. So the first thing David HaMelech says is, but the second thing he says is, so mi ra ve'ase tov. So when you're thinking about what to think about, is steer away from thoughts that aren't helping you. Literally. They're not helping. They're not serving a purpose. They're not making me grow. They're not making me feel more positive or connected. And for most people, unfortunately, the majority of their thoughts are not actually useful. If you think about from when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep, the soundtrack in your head, what percentage of that soundtrack is actually really uplifting and helpful and useful? And what is overthinking and comparing and if only I did that and why did I do that and worrying about your kids? Truth is, worrying about your kids doesn't help anyone. I know that's easier said than done. You've got to learn how to not do it. But it's not helping them. In fact, it makes it harder for them. So walking around worrying about kids doesn't make you feel good and doesn't help the children. So to just learn to let go of that, which is very hard. Get my booklet, simple. So that, and then the second one is asetov, and then start putting into your consciousness things that are good and helpful. Like for example, das, we're talking about das. What percentage of your thought during the day would you say is about Hashem? In a positive way. Like, just like, Hashem, I know you're here. Hashem, I know you're here. I look at the back of my phone more than I look at the front of my phone. Just saying, Hashem, I know you're here. Every mezuzah is an opportunity to feel, Hashem, I know you're here. Every bracha is an opportunity to think, Hashem, I know you're here. So that's what the Megillat Esther is. Megillat Esther means revealing the hidden. Megillah is Megaleh, Esther is hidden. To reveal the hidden, and what's hidden in the Megillah is Hashem's name. So the whole purpose of Adar in life is to megaleh et hester, is to reveal Hashem within you. And that's why this week's parsha, Truma, is Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Batocha. Make me a Mikdash, which means make me a holy place. What does that mean? Your own mind. Is your mind a place that Hashem wants to hang out in? Hashem says, I really want to hang out with you, but if you're thinking all these thoughts, it's hard for me to be there. So Veshachanti Batocha means he's going to live within all of us, within our heart. Belvavi Mishkan Evne. But we just want to make our own minds and then our speech a sanctuary for Hashem. Hashem wants to hang out with him.
But, am I allowed to quote you to you?
Okay.
You wrote the thing and I love it and I always think about it. Should we see Hashem and then tell me? So could you share that? Because I thought that was great.
It's the Baal Shem Tov. We have an idea, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which means I should be conscious of Hashem all the time. Which is really hard, so don't take it literally. It should be, I should try to be more conscious of Hashem. But so the Baal Shem Tov says, Shivitzi comes from the word Shaveh. Hishtavut. It's one of my other favorite words. Hishtavut means equanimity, which means I'm not so controlled by the external world. So if someone insults me, I don't take it personally. And if someone praises me, I don't get arrogant. I'm not disconnected, but hishtavon. So he says, shiviti, you'd say, samti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place Hashem before me, but it doesn't say that, it says shiviti. So shiviti means I have equanimity. I'm at peace. Why? Hashem lenegdi tamid. Because Hashem's always there. Shem's with me all the time. Everything's got a plan. There's a plan. And what's amazing about the Jewish people is that we know the end of the story. We do know. We know the end of the story. We do win. There is a Beit HaMikdash. There is world peace. We win. Iran, whatever you... We win. I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully it's not going to be painful. I don't think it is based on just recent history. Very little's happened. Right? But anyway. But we, whatever happens, we're going to win. You know that, don't you? You know that. Yeah. No, that's exactly it. We've read the back page of the book. We won. So yes, it's all difficult. There could be difficult things, but once I know the outcome, it's less difficult. It's less difficult. I actually said this to Agam Berger's mother a month after she was taken hostage. The mother and father and brothers and sisters came to Esh, and they said, I have to give them chizuk. I was like, I can't say anything to them. But that just came to me. I said, we know the end of the story. And you'd be written in Tanakh now. If the Tanakh would still be written, your family would be written in the Tanakh. And this might be a palace that you didn't choose to be in. I didn't say it in those words, but you're part of it. And we know that in the end, it's going to be okay. And she said, thank you, gave me chizuk there. I was like, could have gone either way. And then amazing, when she came out, it was an amazing thing. But I gave the example to some college kids. I said, imagine your team's playing in the Super Bowl and you couldn't watch it for some reason, so you recorded it, and then you're about to watch it and you said, don't tell me the results. Right. And then your best friend calls you and said, we won! Yeah. So you're upset in a way, but in another way, you then can enjoy the game.
Right.
And you go 100 points down, but you know we're going to come back. And even more than that, the more down you go, the more exciting it's going to be, because you're like, how could we ever come back from it? But we always have. We've always come back from the Holocaust in October the 7th. And they're still painful, but we know the end of the story. And that's what the Megillah is teaching us.
Yes. I want to go back to thought, speech, and action. Thoughts, speech, and action, right? Going back to the Levushim. So I understand the idea of not being driven to do as self-defining, right? That you're not defined by what you do, but that you need to...
It's do, have, and look like. Most people are driven by what I do, what I have, and what I look like.
Okay, great. So when we shift our thoughts, I understand how that shifts our speech about that, right? But the action piece then, what is the motivation that is coming from that, such that I'm not defined by what I do, but...
Beautiful.
Actualizing the Levush.
So action in Hebrew is really called avoda. And we're in avoda as an eved Hashem. So my action is, I'm doing my action as an expression of bringing Hashem into the world. That's my motivation. What's my motivation? So for example, when you give tzedakah, why are you giving tzedakah? Lots of reasons. Because you feel guilty if you don't. You feel good if you do. You get a reward if you do. And actually because you really care about people and you want to help them. So my Rebbe, Bilvavi, says, let's say you're doing it 80% for the wrong reason. Guilt and reward and all that. But there is a part of you that's doing it for the right reason. You just say to Hashem, Hashem, this is my primary motivation. This is why I wish I know I have the ego stuff as well, but really, I'm choosing this one. And Hashem says, great, I'll take that as your primary motivation. And then it starts growing more and more. And then you end up doing it just for the right reason. That's malchut. That's, I'm not doing it for me anymore. But you have to be real with yourself and say, no, I still have the guilt. I'm human. But I'm learning to clean my clothes.
Is that in the Megillah
too? Everything's in the Megillah. Mm-hmm. You just have to reveal where it is. It must be somewhere. I think about it. Yeah.
So I think that this concept...
Sorry, just very quickly. Yes, the whole Megillah is that. She didn't go into the king for herself. She gave it to the king as for Hashem. Malchut. V'til bash Esther Malchut. She became Malchus.
So I think that it is true that if you're real with yourself and you appreciate who you are and with your struggles, you know, then you don't feel like you have to live in this world of trying to do things for the sake of other people thinking that you're a certain way, which is an amazing and a noble idea. Question is, you know, children grow up in homes that are like less than ideal and they're being criticized all the time, and there's so much that they're coming with, so that is like an avoda that is like next level, because they always have to prove their worth by who they were, what they did, or you know, whatever it is. And they become those kinds of adults as a result, because
yeah,
so their life has been. So it would be so great if we could all just be true to ourselves and be real to like who's my core, and like shed all the layers of like I need to impress my mother or my whatever, and then therefore become these adults who are like living their true life.
Yes, this is why the main thing I'm teaching in the Yeshiva and Nesem is a healthy sense of self. If I have to speak, if I speak to any group, I've got 10 minutes to speak to a birthright group, I got 3 hours to speak to a religious group. I'll talk about self-worth. Self-worth. Self-worth is the single most important thing. If you feel good about yourself, then life's okay. And if you don't, then life's really hard. And you get into bad relationships and you can't be truly happy and you beat yourself up. And the truth is, it's so crazy because none of you, or in general, have any reason not to feel good about yourself. I'm not joking. Well, you don't know me, Rabbi. I made a mistake. So what? You make mistakes. There's no reason not to feel good about yourself.
What about comparing? When you compare yourself...
So I said stop comparing. Stop comparing. We just did that class. You're not allowed to... comparing in itself is a ridiculous thing to do. Because how do you know?
But even comparing to yourself, you pretend...
You can compare to myself who I was a year ago and use that as a motive. So good. So that just depends on yourself then. It doesn't depend on what other people think about you. Also, a very important thing is people are so obsessed with what other people are thinking about them and their family. The truth is they're really not thinking about you.
Yeah.
They're thinking about what you think of them and your family. Like, really. You're wasting so much time worrying what people think about you. They're just not. Maybe they are for 1 minute, but then they're thinking about themselves. I just spoke to a group of girls about it. I said, let's say you do something really embarrassing at a party. And then you go home. Other people maybe think about it for a minute and they laugh, but then they're like, I'm glad that wasn't me. I wonder what that guy thought of me. And they're just thinking about themselves. And you're sitting in bed for the next three days freaking out what people are thinking. They're not.
With a little pushback, in today's generation, that's not true. That lives on social media. The kids will revisit it again next week and the week after. And you remember when, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's hard.
I agree with you.
It is very hard nowadays. That's why hopefully the people I'm speaking to are spending less time. They're not getting their sense of self. Let's do another 2 minute. I got it. Yeah.
Let's say there's somebody who they're not necessarily hard on themselves. They don't think they're great. They don't think they're horrible. They just don't know why they're here. So they don't have self-worth because they just think they could be here or not be here and it will make a difference.
So self-worth.
Meaning without, they know that they are not who they are. Their value doesn't come from being what they give as a wife, what they give as a mother, what they give as a friend, what they give as a daughter, what they give as a community. That's not who they are.
Beautiful. So this is where, this is...
Very hard to have.
This is the whole class. Who you are is your thought, speech, and action. So if you're living up to your values, I value being kind, but no one else is giving you recognition for being kind, but you really are being kind, then you can...
Kindness about other people.
No, let's say you're being kind and you're just not getting... You are being kind. Literally, you're helping people all the time, but you're never getting credit for being kind. A healthy person would still feel good about themselves. They don't need the credit for being kind. Now, if you're not being kind, there can be feedback. Let's say everyone in your community says you're not kind. So then it's worth thinking to yourself, is that true? And if it's true, then start being more kind.
But again, being kind is about what you're giving.
To yourself as well.
Inherent.
To what, to yourself, what you're giving to yourself. Are you kind to yourself as well? Are you kind? Do you care about other people? Are you kind? Do you care about people and invest in people, including yourself? That's it. I feel good about myself because I'm trying to be a really good person. That's it. That's the only reason I feel good about myself. And when I make mistakes, I feel good about myself for owning my mistakes and trying to improve from them.
It's really
that simple. I don't see why it needs to be more complicated. Yeah?
I see. So why do you think people have so much self-esteem issues?
Because people get their sense... Really, where self-esteem comes from is success. If you're successful, you feel good.
Intrinsic.
It's just that people's definition of success is completely messed up. Success is what you have, what you look like, and what you do. But if your definition of success is who I'm being, then that depends on, only depends on you. And I haven't mentioned Hashem yet, by the way. So now I'll give you the Hashem answer. As long as you're being the person you feel that Hashem wants you to be, then you should feel good about yourself. It's even more direct. As long as I'm thinking, speaking, and acting like an Eved Hashem, like a Malka, like Hashem wants, then I feel good about myself. Also knowing that I'm not perfect, but Hashem says, don't worry, there's something called tshuva. So I expect you to mess up. You've got a Yetzirah. So as long as you own your mistakes and do tshuva, then that's, I feel even better about myself for doing tshuva. And that's got less to do with your society and what kids, your kids are doing.
Isn't that what Yira really is? Yirat Shemayim. Isn't that what it really
is? Yirat Shemayim is reverence. It's like radical amazement. It's like, it's not like, it's like, wow. I'm in the presence of Hashem.
But isn't it born of this question that you ask yourself in each moment? Am I acting in this moment as an Eved Hashem? Am I showing up as a Bas Melech? Am I showing up?
Yes, as long as there's not too much pressure to be doing it all the time and be perfect, that's dangerous. That's how we started the class. Hashem doesn't expect you to be perfect. Okay. So as long as you're trying, as you're showing up, and owning your mistakes. Hashem expects mistakes. So the truth is, it's not that hard. As long as you can honestly look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm trying. I really am trying. I think that's all you need.
Is it possible that Esther was happy? My name is Esther. That because in your day, it's because once you know your purpose, that could give you so much meaning in your life. And she was blessed. We're not supposed to say lucky anymore. That and ultimately she found her purpose. So people, when they find the purpose, that gives them self-esteem, self-worth. I think a lot of people are upset or feel less because they feel they either don't have a purpose or not living a purpose, or the purpose they had when they were a mother transitioned to being.
Yeah. So I think the only purpose is to refine your thought, speech, and action. To reflect your soul and bring God into the world. That is your purpose. Not to set up an organization and do the... Maybe you can do that as well. But I think it's very dangerous. People used to think, like, Rav Noach says, everyone can be a leader of the... Not everyone's Rav Noach. Rav Noach's Rav Noach. And I don't feel bad that I'm not Rav Noach.
I think it's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. I don't think you're even meant to be. I think you're meant to be a very healthy, present, loving, kind, God-conscious person.
Like, you need to have a purpose,
yes. So people, when people say purpose or mission, they're tying it into some external definition of success. I have a purpose. I want to be the best Eved Hashem, which means I want to refine my thought, speech, and action, and help other people connect to their inner peace. But it's not so like some external measurement of what purpose is. You're here. To really, Mesillas Yesharim says, Kirvat Elokim Lito. Closeness to Hashem. That's what you're here for, closeness to Hashem. You're not here to save the Jewish people. And you're here to save yourself and as many people as you can around you. So, what we're going to do, Rav Gav asked me to extend a little bit because he wanted to do the meditation. So, can you, if you sit down, put your phone away, put your phone down. Okay, and we're just going to do 1 minute because I have to teach somewhere else now. Okay, sit up straight. And loosen your neck and shoulders. And loosen your shoulders like this a bit. And smile. And tap here, release some like stress, tension. And twist in your chair gently. And smile and breathe through your nose. So what we're going to do is, for this 1 minute, when you breathe in, you're going to kind of breathe into your pure soul and the goodness in you. And if any of your Yetzara comes up, but I'm not good and I've got bad character trait, just smile at the Yetzara and say, okay, I'm just connecting to myself now. And when you breathe out, just relax. Relax your body, relax your mind. breathe out any negativity. So breathe in neshima into your neshama, positivity, and breathe out any stress or tension. Okay. So sit up straight. What are you going to do for 1 minute? Close your eyes. Breathing very gently and smiling and feeling his stapkut, enoughness. I'm enough, I'm enough. And when your mind starts distracting you and you're thinking, don't get frustrated, don't give up, just gently smile and bring all of your attention back to your breath. Breathing into your neshama, feeling enough. Trying to tap into kindness and self-compassion. So when you do open your eyes, you want to try and keep that consciousness of presence and kindness and self-compassion, and look at the world, look at yourself, and look at the world around you from that place, and see the good in other people, which starts from seeing the good in yourself. Gently smiling at yourself and smiling at other people. And then you get to a place of being really bas simcha. I'm a happy person because I'm present and kind. Just 20 more seconds, sit up a bit straighter, breathing deeply through your nose, smiling, releasing.